He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And here with my partner and good friend on this program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we want to welcome you to our program tonight. Also here with us is Frank Briscoe, the gospel preacher for the Santo Church of Christ. He'll be running our boards tonight and helping us out with a little sage advice and some good wise scriptures that can also be used as we go through this program tonight. We've got a good program for you. We are going to continue with something that we started last week concerning the authority and the standard that we need in order to be right in each and everything that we do. But before we begin our program tonight, we want to remind you all out there that this is indeed Memorial Day, 2016. It is a day that we remember and honor our fallen soldiers who have given their lives in protecting our liberty and our freedom and the Constitution of the United States of America. They are one reason that we here at the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible have the privilege and the freedom of our free speech so that we can get on this radio and tell everybody what the Bible has to say as opposed to what man has to say. And we want to thank our fallen soldiers and remember the great lives that have been given on our behalf from the servicemen and women of this country. We have been, and we started last week, a lesson on the authority of the Bible and the need for a sure standard for which to go by. And what we have determined is we must have an objective standard, and we do have an objective standard for everything that we do on this in our businesses and in our families and other things. But when it comes to religion, it seems like nobody wants to have an objective standard. But we need to be asking questions like, are we doing the right thing? And if we are doing the right thing, how in the world are we going to know if we don't have an objective standard? And then we need to ask another question, how well are we doing the right thing? And again, we cannot know that unless we have an objective standard. Now, we're going to continue with that tonight. And we're going to look at the authority of God and those who just absolutely and totally disrespect the authority of God. And we're going to consider these things. And when we talk about the authority of God, we're talking about the Bible. We're not talking about the words of men, but we're talking about the words of the living God. And there is a passage of Scripture that I would like to introduce you to tonight. Probably would be used as the text of our lesson in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For those of you who have your Bibles handy, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. And so that's what we're going to consider tonight. We're talking about the Word of God versus the man, the Word of man, and we're going to look at the authority that each and every one of us do have. But before we start, we're going to turn this over to Tom, and he's going to tell you from whence we do broadcast.
We're broadcasting tonight from KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose, covering an area from the Hamilton area all the way up to I-20 in Fort Worth. We're airing on KTX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAVAM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOPAM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing tonight on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. Now, this program is going to be rebroadcast tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on the Gospel Radio Network. We want to remind you that our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We want to encourage you to like us on Facebook. If you'll go to Facebook and search out Harrison Moore, like us on Facebook. And also, you can go to your Google on your iPhone app, type in Harrison Moore, and you can listen to us that way as well. It'll come right to the program. We also want to remind you that we have a podcast. If you'll go to our webpage, harrisonmoore.org, we have a podcast. You go to the bottom right-hand corner, the RSS feed. You click on that, follow the instructions, and you can get an update every time a new podcast is set forth. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And for those who don't have letters on your phone, the numbers are 1-855-722-4253. That's 722-4253. There's also an email address that you can contact us through, questions at harrisonmoore.org. That will go to David's inbox and my inbox, and we'll be happy to address any questions that you may have via that route. Also, we want to remind you that on the Gospel Radio Network, there's a chat room going on, and if you would like to get involved in a discussion through the chat room, that's available to you. But also remember, we would much rather you call in. The number to call, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You know, God certainly desires that we read His Word. And all wise people know the great value of studying God's holy text. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 it says, "Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You know, as we study the Bible today, it is obvious that it has to be interpreted. It's obvious that we have to understand what the Bible says for us to understand what God's will for us is, and then therefore to understand His authority. And is it not the case, David, that every Christian then has an obligation to study the Bible?
There's no doubt about it at all. I mean, there is no way that we can know how to please God and live before Him in a way that is going to be pleasing in His sight if we don't know what He wants. And the only way that we can know what He wants is if we look into His Word, where He has told us what He wants. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, we're told there, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's two things that we can glean from that. One thing is that if we want to show ourselves approved unto God, we're going to have to take his word out, break open the word of life there, and make the application to our lives. We can't be approved in the sight of God and be ignorant of his word.
Exactly.
And that's what he's telling us there. And the second thing that we learn there is that we can rightly divide, we can rightly discern what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, what is bad, what God wants, if indeed we will take this book and just open it and study it.
Exactly right. And when you look at that passage in the American Standard, it talks about giving diligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's studying. Shows you how much time needs to be spent in the Word of God. And also use the phrase handling aright. Rightly dividing, handling aright. You know, the only way we're going to be able to do that, if we give diligent study to the Word of God. And I'm afraid, David, that's why some people get all messed up. Because they're not giving due diligence in their study to the Word of God. They do things in their life, and they don't even know what the Bible has to say for or against this thing, because they just don't know what the Bible has to say.
And this is one of the reasons that we must know what God wants. It's going to be an absolute impossibility. You cannot be a Christian by accident.
Exactly.
Cannot go to heaven by accident. And so the only way that we're going to know how to do this is to study the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. So just how do we know what we can do in our service to God? What are the things that we must do? What are the things that are forbidden for us to do? If we do not know how to prove Bible authority and answer these questions, then we will not be able to carry out our responsibility to God, right? We need to know what to do. We need to know what not to do. And the only way we can know these things is by understanding God's authority. And the only way we can know that is by studying the Bible.
Well, this is the reason that we have selected this topic. We introduced the topic last week, and now we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of the topic of Bible authority. It is a very, very important topic and something that everybody ought to be very, very much aware of, the authority of God. How do we know what is forbidden? How do we know that what we must do? There is absolutely no way that we can know that except we know what God's will is.
Exactly right. And so tonight we're talking about the authority of God and those who disrespect it. But remember, tonight this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE or 1-855-722-4253. Again, tonight we're talking about the authority of God. And David, to help us to better understand our responsibility to the authority of God, it would be good for us to understand the meaning of the word authority. You know, we do not understand anything outside of understanding the meaning of words. Is that not right?
Words mean things. And that word authority is a very powerful word.
Exactly. Authority means power, right, sanction, or justification for doing a certain thing.
Well, now, Tom, it's interesting that you bring that up, because in Matthew chapter 28... right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gathered up his apostles one more time to give them that great commission, and he prefaced that great commission with these words in verse 18. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Exactly.
Go ye therefore, because I have all power.
Uh-huh. And that's one of the definitions of authority.
Yes.
So he could say just as easily, I have all authority. All authority has been given unto me, therefore go. And so when we understand the idea of authority, we understand the word power and right and justification for doing a certain thing. If we say religious authority, then we're talking about what we have the right or authority to do in religious matters. If we say Bible authority, then we're talking about what the Bible authorizes or gives us the right to do. When we talk about Bible authority, then we are pointing to the Bible as a standard that sanctions and authorizes actions that men take in serving God. And David, that's where so many religionists in our world today, so-called people of God, miss the boat because they don't understand Bible authority as pertains to serving God properly.
Well, Tom, I'd like to take this opportunity to encourage our listening audience. If you're out there and you think that you can know what God wants you to do without reading the Bible and without any kind of biblical authority to back up your reasoning, would you please call in and explain that to us? We would like to know. We're not going to be ugly to you. We're going to have a conversation with you. And we want to know how it is that you ascertain what it is that you do in religion without the Bible.
Exactly. And so there's definitely a need for us to discuss Bible authority, because there are many today who have misunderstandings about religious authority in general. In present times, even Christians sometimes are saying that the New Testament is not really a pattern for us today.
Well, Tom, now that word pattern, let's look at that pattern for just a moment. That word pattern, it means an awful lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that God has given us his authority. He has given it to us in the New Testament in this Christian age. And there is a pattern there for us to follow. Mm-hmm. Now, a pattern is a blueprint.
Exactly.
God has given us a blueprint. We stay with the blueprint, and we will not be a failure as far as God goes in this life. And we're looking at eternal life if we just follow the pattern. Now, a lot of people who claim that they are Christians, a lot of religious organizations, as a matter of fact, I went right by a denominational building today who had out there on the marquee. It says, the law says do it, but the gospel says it's done. And the implication there that marquee is making is that the law of Moses had things for you to do, but now that we're in the Christian age, the gospel age, it's already done and you have nothing to do. And this is just not what the Bible has to say. And yet people are deceived, if you will. Be not deceived by what men have said about things. Instead, get with the program here. Look at the pattern. Look at the blueprint. Look at the authority that God has given us to do or not to do certain things.
Exactly right. And getting back to that idea of pattern, when I was growing up, my mother would make clothes, and she would always buy what she has called patterns. And she would lay out the material. She would lay the pattern on top of the material, and she would cut right along the lines of the pattern, so it would come out just the way it's supposed to. You know, David, that's the same way it is with God's Word. There are several times when the Bible talks about the pattern, talks about Moses building the tabernacle according to the pattern mm-hmm. that was shown thee in the mount. We have a pattern. There are a lot of people who really look down on that idea of pattern theology, so to speak, that there's an actual pattern or an example that we have to follow. But the Bible's very clear about giving us instructions. Well, it gives us instructions on how to become a Christian, how the church is to be organized, how God wants to be worshipped, and various other things. There is a pattern. There is a way God wants it to be done, and we have the obligation to follow the pattern. And when we follow the pattern, we're doing it by the authority of God.
Right. And you know, there's another way to look at this. I am personally extremely thankful that we do have a pattern, that we do know what God wants us to do. Can you imagine being a building contractor for a house, and you go and you say, what kind of house do you want? And he says, I want you to build it absolutely and totally correctly like I want it, and you draw up the blueprints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how in the world would you know what he wanted? How would we ever know that? Now, folks, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE or 1-855-722-4253. Let me repeat that again, 722-4253, or you can dial 855-QA-BIBLE. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your questions concerning this authority of the Bible. Now, as we have mentioned, there are many people who call themselves Christians who refuse to recognize that there is any kind of pattern that God has set forth for us, that there is any kind of right and wrong as far as God goes, as long as you just have this feeling welling up in your heart, then you're going to be okay. But this is not what the Bible teaches, Tom.
Exactly. And when you look at that idea that there's not a really a pattern for us, in light of what Jesus says in Matthew 7, beginning verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. David, isn't it interesting that for those people who say that there is no pattern for us to follow, why in the world would Jesus then say that we need to do the will of the Father?
Well, you see, the great separator and what he had just said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, many will say unto me that day, Lord, and that day that he's talking about, by the way, is the day of judgment. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord. Now, what they are doing, they are calling upon the name of the Lord. And just to call upon the name of the Lord is not good enough. The great separator, so says Jesus, is doing it and not just hearing it, deceiving your own selves.
Exactly right. So we understand clearly the importance of a pattern that is set for us. But you know, David, there are also other people who will say things like, well, if the Bible does not specifically say that some action is wrong, then we are authorized to do that very thing. You know, David, just on the surface of that, that's just so ridiculous that people would have that idea. Can you imagine how big the Bible would be if God had to specifically say every single thing that we are not to do? He gives us some many general things that a lot of things fall into that category. You know, people, you know, if you were going to take that idea, you can say, well, the Bible did not say that we should not take LSD. Well, does that give us the authority for teaching, taking LSD? No, because the principle of alcohol, LSD falls in that scenario. Anything that's going to change your thinking, some outside substance that thinks that's going to change your thinking is prohibited under the guise of alcohol.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things like that. You know, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not poke your wife in the eye. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible does tell you to treat your wife like you would treat yourself.
Right.
And so that is a poor, poor argument that some people like to use.
Well, and the argument that they're trying to dismiss is the argument that we use every single day in our everyday life. It's called the law of exclusion, and we all use that law. We just went to Whataburger and had us a little Whataburger meal. And you know, if you go to one of these places, you go to a restaurant and the waiter or the waitress comes over and says, what would you like? And you say, well, I want a Whataburger. And they come back and they bring you a Whataburger, some French fries and a fried pie and a milkshake and a Coca-Cola. And you say, wait a minute. I didn't order all that stuff. And he said, well, you didn't say not to.
Right.
You didn't say. Well, you see, when I ordered the Whataburger, it automatically excluded everything else on the menu.
Exactly.
And we
right.
use that law of exclusion every single day that we live. Mm-hmm. You know, when we decide we want something, it automatically excludes everything else. And when God says, I want this, it automatically excludes everything else.
Exactly right. And, you know, it would be fair to say that many people have never really asked themselves if their actions in religious affairs are authorized by the Bible or not. They just simply do it because they've always done mm-hmm. it, or they do it because the denomination of which they are a part does it, and they never stop and say, I wonder if the Bible authorizes what we're doing.
Right. Case in point, there are some places, some religious organizations that would require you to kneel in order to pray to God. But there is no command for us to kneel in order to pray. As a matter of fact, there are several examples throughout the Bible that gives us an option, if you will, to pray to God in several different praying positions. You can kneel, you can stand, you can sit, and even Jesus prayed lying down prostrate. And you were telling us earlier as we were talking about this in preparation for this program tonight about going to India. Tell us what they do in India.
Yeah, well, I was kind of taken back by it, but when I was in India and we would pray, many of the Indian men would get down on their knees and lay their hands and head forward on the ground. You know, if that was to be done around here, people would probably think you're a little bit on the crazy side. Mm-hmm. But that was their custom of praying. You know, the Bible says that we are to pray, but it does not give us specific indication as to the position, you know, whether or not bowing your head or on your knees or laying flat on your face. There is no position stated. And so we've got to remember that. And so we need to be careful that we don't try to force others to do things God does not require. He requires prayer, but he does not require a certain position in prayer.
He certainly requires us to pray unto him humbly and reverently.
Exactly.
But these are matters of the spirit. They're not matters of position. And so when someone, when a denominational body requires you to kneel to pray or to get prostrate on the ground to pray, then they are going way beyond what God has required.
Or the counting of beads, yes. Or things of that nature that are not found. You know, you can't even find that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And yet sometimes it's required of you to do that in some religions. Well, they don't have the authority. There is no authority for that.
And you need to be asking questions. For those of you who are involved in religions like this, ask questions. Where does the Bible say that we need to do things like this? Where are we authorized? And this is what we're trying to get at here. Now, we got to be careful not to force others to do things that are not required. But at the same time, Tom, we need to make sure that we do not loose what God has required us to do.
Exactly.
We've got to do what God says, but not loose what God has authorized us to do.
So, in other words, to say God says that a certain action is required, then we have no right to say that it is not required.
Absolutely.
And so we have an example of that, and we think about the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but before we get there, remember that this is a live call-in program, and the number to call, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-Q-TALK. a Bible. That's 1-855-Q-A-Bible. In your Bibles, you'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, it says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." So here, David, we have a commandment that we are to partake the Lord's Supper, but when does the Bible say it is to be partaken?
Well, right here, you know, he gives the authority for what he says. Right there in verse number 23, he says, "Here is my authority, and I'm telling you people at the church at Corinth, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." These are not my words. These are God's words. And then he goes through this, and then he says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death as you come." Well, now, Tom, here's the question. How often do Christians meet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have the authority for that one also in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And there we read in chapter 20 and verse number 7, it says, "Now upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them." Upon the first day of the week. Well, Tom, how often does the first day of the week come around?
It comes around every first day of the week.
Okay.
Now, the reason we talk about this is because there are a lot of people today who say that in the denominational world, that you only need to partake of the Lord's Supper every quarter,
mm-hmm,
or every month or something, mm-hmm, like that. And they say, well, we don't want the Lord's Supper to become old hat. And so the more you take it, the less likely you are for that to be the case. Well, what they're doing, David, is taking away from what God said is to be done on the first day of the week. And that's what God requires. Frank, did you have something?
In that same passage, verse 6 tells us that after they arrived there, they came, we tarried 7 days. And he tarried 7 days for the specific purpose of being there on the first day of the week so they could have the communion with him. They could be together to break bread.
Exactly.
So it's very, very important. I mean, these things are put there for our learning. They are put there for the pattern for which we are to follow. Here is the pattern. They met on the first day of the week. They broke bread on the first day of the week. And why? Because Paul said, "I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." And who has the right to take that away and say it's not important?
Evidently, there are a lot of people, David, who think that they know better than what God says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God says every first day of the week, that's when it should be done. And to use your own thinking, your own understanding, and says, you know, let's just do it once a quarter because we don't want it to become just a tradition and old hat to us. Well, what they're doing is overriding the authority of God. You know, we've got to be diligent to study the Bible and strive to make our thinking in harmony with God's will and not try to bring God's will in harmony with our will. And that's what people try to do. But our will must be in harmony with God's will. And David, there we see a major difference between the Lord's church and the denominational world, right?
Well, you know, and getting back to this Lord's Supper, this is not just some kind of an exercise that we go through. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." You see, we remember our fallen soldiers on Memorial Day. It's just something that we do. God didn't authorize that. We did, and we make sure that we do it every Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. God authorized this. We have no right to unauthorize it by saying that, you know, we don't want it to be a commonplace thing. No, it's not a commonplace thing. We are to do it fervently, earnestly, humbly, and reverently every single first day of the week, because Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me."
So if we do it the Lord's way, it will not become commonplace.
No, it will not.
Well, you know, David, one clear basic difference between the Lord's church and denominations is the difference in their outlook and approach to Bible authority. There's where the difference lies in the religious world. You know, all of our religious activities, all of our teachings has to be authorized by the Bible.
Well, the Holy Spirit in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, and notice this, whatsoever you do.
So what would that include?
Every single thing that
Everything.
We do, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, that means by your words that you speak or by the actions that you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
In his authority.
By his authority. And that passage that you mentioned just a moment ago, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Jesus is saying to those folk, you're appealing to my authority here.
Mm-hmm.
You are appealing to my authority, and not everybody that says unto me, Lord, is going to heaven, because they are not actually appealing to the authority, they're just saying it.
Doesn't it make sense, Dave, that if a person is going to worship God, to give homage to him, to give glory to him, would you not think that they ought to do things that the one whom they worship would like for it to be done that way?
Well, he is the object of our devotion.
And it didn't make any sense to say, well, I believe in Jesus, I worship God, and yet do things your own way.
Yeah.
In reality, what you're doing is you're worshiping yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the phone number is absolutely free. You can call this number. We'll pick up the tab. We don't care if you're in India. Pick up the telephone. Call us 1-855-QABIBLE. Just spell it out. Questions, answers, BIBLE. Or if you want to dial the numbers, it's 1-855-722-4253. 855-722-4253. We're talking about the authority of the Bible. We're encouraging everyone who is in a religion, regardless of what that religion may be, if you are doing something that you suspect is not authorized by the Bible, then you need to question it. Do not go along like a bunch of sheep and be hoodwinked and be deceived into believing that this is something that is authorized by God when it's nothing more than authorized by man. And this is what we're trying to do. Our motto here at the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible has always been, you've heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say, because the Bible has the truth, and truth is premium.
Exactly.
There is nothing greater on this face of this earth than truth itself, because it is only truth that makes us free.
Tonight we're talking about those who disrespect the authority of God. We've spent about 30 minutes now talking about authority. Let's spend a little bit about time about the word disrespect. What does it mean to disrespect? Webster 7th New College Dictionary states that disrespect means to have a lack of respect or reverence for, discourtesy. On the other hand, to have respect is an act of giving particular attention and consideration, to hold in high regard, to give particular detail to. So, anyone who does disrespect the authority of God and His Word, they are showing a lack of reverence, a lack of consideration, a lack of courtesy, and show little regard for the details of God's law. And David, that's why the religious world is so divided, because of disrespect. You know, we hear a lot, "You disrespected me." You know, mm-hmm. People always say that. Well, that's what God is saying to a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and not only that, Tom, we get back to this idea that God is the object of our worship. He is the object of our adoration. He is the object of our devotion. Well, if He is the object, then we must adhere to what He desires.
Exactly right.
Or He cannot be the object of the worship. If we do what makes us feel good, if we do what makes us, it sounds good to us, then who is the object of the devotion here?
Exactly.
We are. And so it becomes self-will worship instead of God worship.
Exactly right. And you notice it's important for us, David, to understand the importance of worshiping it God's way and not our way. So when we think about this, friends, disrespect for God's authority, well, it's growing like wildfire in our world. And there are going to be a lot of people who burn eternally in hell because of their disrespect for the Word of God. You know, Jesus says in John 4 and verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship me," what's the next word?
Must
worship me in spirit and in truth. That is by His authority. It is a requirement by God that we abide by His authority, and to not do so, it's a disrespectful attitude.
Well, you know, when He talks about they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, that spirit has to do with the reverence, the fervency. It has to do with the object of our devotion, if you will, and the sincerity that is involved in the worship services here. And He says, worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, when we're worshiping in truth, we find that truth is identified by Jesus Himself in John chapter 17, verse 17, as the Word of God. So we can't do it without the Word, and we must do it with the right attitude and the right mindset.
You know, David, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship." Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are doing their own way, their own will, as you mentioned a moment ago, and it's happening in worship as well. And that's why Jesus says, if you want to do it right, do it with the right attitude and according to my authority, and not being involved in your own personal will worship.
Okay, the number to call, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, or you can dial it up, 1-855-722-4253, 855-722-4253. Give us a call. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And especially if you would like to share with us why it is that the religion in which you are now found is not adhering to the Word and the will of God. We would like to know how it is that you ascertain what it is that you do and why it is that you do it.
Exactly.
Is it because of your preacher or is it because of the Bible?
Right. McNichol on the chat box says, "David, we don't go to church for us, really. We go for God. It's not about what we want, what makes us happy. It's what makes God happy. Although if you love God and want to please Him, worship will be enjoyable and will bring you that joy.
Amen.
And you know, remember a while back, I forget her name, but she was talking, they were talking about worship, that lady, what was her name?
Oh, what's the preacher with the big hair? Oh, down there.
We'll think of it in a second. But anyway, yeah. She says, you know.
It's his wife.
Yeah, his wife.
Joel Osteen's wife.
You know, she was saying that it's all about us. Mm-hmm. You know, what pleases me, religion, worship, it's about what makes you feel good. And I'm kind of paraphrasing what she said, mm-hmm. but that's the idea that many in the religious world want to do. You know, worship God according to the own dictates of your heart, I've heard many times over the years. Well, that's will worship. That's rejecting the authority of God. That is disrespecting the authority of God. My friends, we've got to do it just like what God says it needs to be done.
Right. Now, we have objective standards, and we've had some subjective standards. And we touched on this last week, but we need to look at it again. We're talking about an objective standard, one that is given to us by God. That is an objective standard. This is it. This is what I want. This is my pattern. This is objective. Now, the other side of that is a subjective standard is one that's based upon one's own feelings or one's opinions or maybe even one's conscience. Now, Frank, you were telling us earlier about talking to this denominational preacher about the word and the will of God, and he was comparing that to the feelings that he had that would override anything in the Bible. Tell us about that, would you?
We were having a discussion. Particular discussion was about the subject of baptism. But when we reached a point where he asked for a specific passage, and we turned to the passage that Peter gives us, 1 Peter 3, concerning baptism, he first of all said that he didn't know that it was there. But the point that he made that ended the discussion, he said, when the Bible disagrees with what I feel in my heart, then I have to say the Bible's wrong.
So he completely dismissed the authority of God.
Completely.
And what he did was what we were talking about just a moment ago. He loosed what God has not loosed and made his own opinion more valid and more authoritative than that of God. Is that not right?
That's completely right. He just simply said the Bible is wrong if it disagrees with me. What I feel and what I want is more important than what the Bible says.
Well, the question I have is, why do we even need the Bible if that is to be our rule in religion and how we do things in this life?
Well, we wouldn't need it at all. All we would have to do is rely on our government and then not get arrested for something that was illegal.
You know, really, David, what's behind all of this, I believe, and I know we discussed this earlier between us a moment ago, is humanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Humanist Manifesto teaches, in reality, that a man is his own God, that you do the things that are what makes you feel good, the things that are best for you, and you put everything else second or third behind that. That is what liberal theology does. That's what people are doing as they disrespect God's authority in putting their own think-sos, their own wishes above God. That's what a subjective standard, subject to your own feelings, does. Mm-hmm. It disrespects the authority of God. And this really means that one does what he or she feels is right, no matter what. That disrespects the authority of God.
Certainly it does. There is absolutely no way that I can do what is pleasing to me if it is not in harmony with God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And actually think that I am in fellowship with God and that I am respecting God. Oh, I love God. I'm going to beat on my chest and point up into the air every time I get a chance, but I'm going to do it my way, God, and you're just going to have to understand that. That is an absolute and total disrespect of God the Father, the creator of the universe, the giver of life, the giver of breath, the giver of the authoritative standard that must be applied in our lives. And it is objective, and that means that it is fixed and it doesn't move. And aren't we glad it doesn't? Because we can look back there 2,000 years later and we got the same fixed objective standard that Jesus was teaching us about in our Bibles, and it still applies today.
Exactly. You know, how messed up would our religious world be if there was not an objective standard?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of messed up because people are not going by the objective standard, a standard that is set, fixed, that is unchangeable, and does not have anything to do with one's feelings or opinions. That shows respect for the authority of God when you look at it in that regard. How can any person claim to be religious, claim to be spiritual, claim to be a believer in God, a lover of God, when they do things their own way?
Well, you can't have the respect and the fellowship that God demands that we have of Him. We look over here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We have fellowship one with another if we walk in the light. What is the light? It is the truth.
Exactly.
It is the objective standard that God has given us. And earlier in verse 6, they that walk in darkness and say they have fellowship with God, they lie and they do not the truth. And so we have the both sides of the equation here, light and darkness, objective truth, subjective truth. And what mankind needs, Tom, is a guide in religious affairs that is an objective standard that God gave us, and it is called the Bible. If we all take the Bible and follow that objective standard that is given there, we will have no problem.
You know, that's why the psalmist said that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. And I wish, David, that the entire world had that kind of respect for the authority of God. Do we not all realize that we have certain objective standards in our daily affairs of life? Can you imagine having to live in a world where there was no objective standard? For example, when you buy vegetables at the market, there is a set standard of weight used. It's the pound. When a woman buys clothes to make a dress, there is a set standard of measurement, the yard. There would be a lot more, could be a lot more examples that we can give, but all of us know that without such objective standards of measurements in society, there would be chaos in many aspects of our world. David, we have a lot more we're going to say about this in the days ahead, but before we get out of time, I want to take just a moment to mention our additional sponsors. We want to give great thanks to these congregations: the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas; the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas; the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas; the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas; the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas; the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo; the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas; and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. There's also some individuals who have helped us with a program here in recent days: the Hansons in Weatherford, the Swigerts in the Metroplex area, the Keeters in Iredell, the Four Hands in Hamilton, and the Moores in Dripping Springs. And David, without these type of brethren and congregations, this program could not be aired, and we're thankful so much for them.
Amen.
David, we have just a few moments left, and we've been talking about the authority of God. And David, when we talk about salvation, the authority of God is very important.
It's premium. It's absolutely premium. God has a standard. God has a pattern. God has terms for those who wish to enter into the kingdom of God. And we're going to look at these terms very quickly. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Well, now, we must have faith. We must have a belief in God, or we cannot be pleasing unto him. Now, where do we get that faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And so we see that it is through the authority of the Bible that we accumulate this knowledge, this faith, this belief that we must have in order to be pleasing to God. Now, that belief teaches us that if we are going to go to heaven, we're going to have to repent. And that means, Tom, that we cannot continue living like the world and like Satan would have us to live. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to change our unrighteous ways to the righteous ways of God. That is a beginning of the standard that God gives us to go to heaven.
You know, what's strange and sad, David, is many people disrespect that authority. And they stop with the fact is all you need to do is believe in Jesus or to say the sinner's prayer, right, to be saved. When you do that, you're disrespecting the authority of God, because not only did he talk about belief and repentance that you just mentioned, but also there's confession of faith. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 talks about how Jesus says, if you're not willing to confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before my Heavenly Father, which is in heaven. Confession. Telling other people that you believe in the Christ, but it's more than just a verbal pronunciation. It is also a way of life. Living in such a way that you're confessing to people that you believe and you respect the authority of God and that you believe and you're going to do what he says.
Amen. And then it comes a very important part. Of course, they're all important. Without one of these, you could not abide by the terms of salvation that God has set forth. But then it is that we are to be baptized into the name of Jesus by the authority of Jesus for the remission of our sins. There is a reason for baptism. It's just not going through an act. There is a reason, because baptism and the act of baptism washes away our sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul of Tarsus was told by Ananias, the gospel preacher, he says, and now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's how we get rid of our sins. We don't get rid of our sins by praying. Not until after we have completed the authority of God in order to become a Christian.
And again, people disrespect the authority of God by saying that baptism is not essential to salvation when Jesus clearly says that it was. If you don't be baptized, he says you cannot be saved. And to say that it's not essential is disrespecting the authority of God. But David, we also need to realize that after we have become a child of God, been added to the Lord's church after baptism, Acts 2 verse 47, we still have to remain faithful. To say you're once saved, always saved, is disrespecting the authority of God. Revelation 2 verse 10 says we've got to be faithful unto death. It's been great to have you in our audience tonight, and we're going to continue our thoughts next week more on the authority of God. And why they disrespect the authority of God and many different standards that are being used that are contrary to the Word of God. We're thankful that you've been with us tonight. We encourage you to listen in every Monday right here on this station at 6 p.m., the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Thank you for coming in and listening. We look forward to hearing from you and you listening in next week right here on this channel.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.